What sort of man is this whom even the winds and the sea obey? Good question. Who has control of the weather? God. The answer is God. He's the only one who controls the weather. So who is this Jesus who acts with the power of God? You know, there's a whole dimension of the world of entertainment, magicians. They make amazing things happen, they make things disappear and reappear, and they cut people in half and, you know, burn people, and they get restored and all these things, card games. And we all know that that's sleight of hand, right? It's tricks. I one time saw a little film of a guy, he made an elephant disappear. I don't know how he did it, but you know, bring an elephant onto the stage, put up a curtain, abracadabra or something, and take down the curtain, elephant is gone. Okay, we know that the reason that's entertainment is because we can't figure out how they do it, but we know that the elephant is somewhere behind stage, somewhere beneath or above or to the side somewhere. We know that it didn't really disappear because we don't have that kind of power. But those magicians, they never try to make it rain or stop the rain or start a tornado or typhoon or, in this case, stop a storm on the sea. They never do that. They can't even create the illusion that they have that power. I remember a few years ago when there was an earthquake and Pastor Kiboroi claimed that he had the power to stop the earthquake. I don't know why people believe him, but he claimed he had the power to stop the earthquake. Well, he didn't. The only one who has power over the weather or over natural disasters is God. So the question, what sort of man is this whom even the winds and sea obey, make us think, this man, if he's not God himself, which they couldn't have thought, he's acting with the power of God. He has the power to do things that only God can do. And that's true. Jesus has the power to do things only God can do because he is God. It had not yet been revealed, but he was revealing it in this very moment. Now, once we establish that, we assume that that means he's going to do great and powerful things to make our life better. He's going to stop all the storms. He's going to stop all the diseases. He's going to prevent all the natural disasters. He's going to stop people from dying. And he doesn't do that. So that's what puzzles people, puzzles us. So why does God, who has this power, not use it in a way to make things better? Why doesn't he stop all evil and promote all good? Of course, he is doing that, but he's doing it in a way that is beyond our comprehension, because his goal is not simply making things better on earth. His goal is for us to enter into eternal life, eternal glory. And he'll do anything to make that happen, including make us pass through purifying sufferings, things that we don't understand, storms on the lake. In the first reading, we heard the account of the destruction of the evil cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. If we read the whole story, first of all, we learn how evil the citizens of those cities are. The Bible implies they deserve to be destroyed because they're wicked. But the story is God actually wanted to save the cities. He wanted to save all the people, but they wouldn't leave. Even Lot, his wife, and their two daughters, he could hardly get them to leave the city. The angels had to take them by the hand and practically drag them out of the city in order for them to be saved. Now, at the moment that Lot and his family were being dragged out of the city, they were probably saying, why are you doing this to us? Why are you making us suffer? Because in that limited perspective, it seems like a bad thing to be get up in the middle of the night and dragged out of town. But in fact, it was an action of mercy, an action of salvation. And sadly, Lot's wife, she, even with that effort, even with that extraordinary effort to save her, she still looked back. She couldn't let go of the sinful lifestyle of the cities. So we shouldn't put a judgment on God and say he's not using his power to do good things. More, we should expand our view and say, well, what is he doing that we don't understand that he is doing in order to save us? Now, I decided, as I said at the beginning, to offer this Mass as a votive Mass in honor of the precious blood of Jesus, the most precious blood of Jesus, because we're beginning the month of July, which is dedicated to the precious blood, and because July 1st used to be the Feast of the Precious Blood. Now it's combined with the Corpus Christi, right? The Feast of Corpus Christi is actually the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. So the church decided to put the body and blood together, which is legitimate, of course, because that's who Jesus is. But this focus on the blood of Christ, I think, will help us understand what's going on here when we ask the question, well, why doesn't God use his divine power to save us? Why doesn't he prevent disasters like happened to the evil cities? And what we learn is Jesus has decided not to use his divine power to prevent evil from happening, but he decides to use his own body and blood as a sacrifice for our benefit. The devotion to the precious blood is blood poured out for us, the expiation of our sins, the taking care of the problem of our sins. We're the ones who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. He didn't have to be washed, he was clean. He didn't have to die, he didn't have any sins. So the awareness that we get from this devotion to the precious blood is that God's way of using his divine power is to sacrifice himself for our sake, which is actually much greater than stopping a storm on the sea. It's a much more powerful miracle to save people from sin and death, eternal death, than to stop earthquakes or to stop storms or to prevent the diseases and wars. The greatest victory and the greatest use of divine power is to save us from sin and death. And that's what he's done. So, yes, there are still natural disasters, and there are still plenty of very troubling sufferings that we all pass through, and things that take place in the world, yes. But what is God doing in these things? He's working on every single person, in every single situation, in every moment, to draw us to himself and to lead us to eternal life. That we can, that's a guaranteed by faith. Even if we don't understand it, it's true. That's who God is. What else is he going to do? So when we ask the question, what sort of man is this whom even the winds and the sea obey? Well, he's the sort of man who will lay down his life for us. And that's what gives us confidence as we journey through this valley of tears, as we continue our pilgrimage in this life. It's a pilgrimage of hope, because we have confidence in the mercy and the power of God.